Five top Saudi Arabian officials were fired and 18 others were arrested over the weekend following the kingdom's acknowledgement that Jamal Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. According to the Saudi investigation, Khashoggi was killed after a confrontation in the consulate. Turkish officials dispute this account in leaks to the press, saying the attack was targeted. Amid the Saudis' questionable explanation of Khashoggi's death, a new report from the New York Times reveals how the Saudi government uses troll farms to orchestrate digital attacks against dissidents and journalists, including Khashoggi. Ben Hubbard is the Beirut bureau chief for the New York Times, and he's been reporting on these social media campaigns.
Troll farms are basically, you know, the best way to picture them would be like a call center, like you would have, you know, to field public relations requests or customer requests, something like that, except this would be a group of people who have been hired to be very, very active on social media to promote some kind of agenda. In the case of the story that we wrote, this was obviously to sort of do a number of things to try to benefit the relationship or the reputation of Saudi Arabia. So this is to attack content that appeared to be negative to Saudi Arabia and to promote content that is positive for Saudi Arabia.
And tell us who was behind the troll farm and whether that farm can be traced all the way back to the highest levels of the Saudi government.
Well, it would be pretty impossible for something like this to happen without the knowledge of the Saudi government. I mean, this is a monarchy, it's an authoritarian state. So it'd be very unlikely that, say, impossible for this to happen unless it was signed off on, you know, by the government. And we know that one of the officials who is in charge of this effort is somebody who's very close to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who is, you know, the de facto ruler of the kingdom.
And what are some of the messages that these trolls were using?
There are various ways that they do this. Sometimes it's just to try to manipulate hashtags that are already out there. So if there's a hashtag that they perceive to be negative to the kingdom, they can sometimes just flood it with various kinds of spam so that it becomes, in a way, unreadable. They also try to game the algorithms that Twitter has to try to get certain hashtags onto the trending topics. So if there's a hashtag that picks up or that some cases may have actually been created by them, they can drive a tremendous amount of traffic to that and, you know, try to get it on the trending topics list, which makes it much more likely than anybody inside of Saudi Arabia who's on Twitter is going to see that particular topic. You know, to take a step back, you kind of have to understand how important something like Twitter is in a country like Saudi Arabia. Again, this is an authoritarian place that doesn't have really free media. I mean, almost all of the newspapers are government-owned. There's not a lot of public engagement or civil society. There are not really places where you can go and discuss. And so when Twitter started spreading in Saudi Arabia probably 7 or 8 years ago, it was, you know, it was a huge deal for the kingdom. And a lot of people then were very optimistic and said, oh, this is going to be this great new technology that's going to lead to, you know, it's going to democratize the discourse. What we've seen is that, you know, this government really had the ability to manipulate all of that because they have huge, huge resources from the oil wealth. They were able to buy really the best off-the-shelf technology that you can find. And they just, you know, they're very organized. So they can, you know, either create automated bots or, in the cases that we wrote about, hire human bots who, you know, or trolls they're called, or sock puppets. There's various terms that people in tech use for this. But basically hiring people whose job it is to weigh in on these social media debates and try to shape the way that they go. They've drowned out a lot of messages. They've amplified other messages. They've managed to get certain things that would not have been trending on the trending lists on Twitter. So they've ended up being very effective. And they end up playing a role. Social media plays a very large role in these countries in just shaping people's perceptions of reality, just as media does in any country. But the difference in Saudi Arabia is that there are just fewer avenues out there. And so when they can so effectively manipulate what people are seeing when they get on Twitter, they can really have an effect on how people really perceive the world around them and perceive their own government.
Well, you also reported on an ex-Twitter employee who was spying on behalf of the Saudi government. What do we know about that person?
Well, we know that there was a Saudi engineer, a Saudi tech person who got hired by Twitter, was working there, and then Twitter was basically tipped off by American law enforcement and said, we have suspicions about this person that he has been, whether he was working directly for Saudi intelligence or whether he'd been sort of recruited to do this bit of work for them is not entirely clear, but the concerns were great enough that he was using his access to the company and his access inside of Twitter to basically look up information about certain dissidents and provide that information to the Saudi government.
I'm wondering if we're paying attention to this more now because of Jamal Khashoggi's death. He was, in fact, one of the folks who was targeted by these campaigns, was he not?
He was definitely targeted by these people. You know, there was, you know, Jamal, by the time he was killed, had, last time I checked, I think it was somewhere around 1.5 million or more than 1.5 million followers on Twitter. He was very prolific on Twitter. He would tweet in Arabic. He would tweet in English. He would interact with people. He would post articles. And, you know, so for someone like him, this is a very powerful publishing platform. I mean, there are, you know, lots of articles published by the New York Times that don't get 1.5 million views. But, you know, somebody like Jamal had that many followers just on his own Twitter account. So they put a lot of effort into trying to fight back against him. And so he would get lots and lots of comments and lots of abuse and things like that. So, yeah, he was definitely sort of one of the people on their list that they were, you know, trying to influence the way that the content he was putting out was being received by people.
Oh, we should also be clear that Twitter as a company has been under fire for a while now for what it allows and doesn't allow on its platform and how it controls what people can say and what they can't say. And I'm wondering, from your reporting, have they said anything about all this? Have folks from Twitter responded to either the employee who was supposedly working on behalf of the Saudis or to how their platform is being used in this instance?
I'm not aware of any direct response from Twitter to the article that we published on Sunday. I mean, I know that they certainly have talked about other ways that they've tried to do this. There was, you know, they put out information a few days ago talking about a large sort of bot network, I think they called it, that they had taken down, that was sort of a pro-Saudi bot network that Twitter had taken down. So, you know, they are certainly aware of the problem. And, you know, when Twitter executives speak about this, they say, you know, well, we want to do everything that we can to allow the medium to function. We don't want to be censoring people. We don't want to be taking things down unless otherwise necessary. So, I think for Twitter, they're trying to find the balance between keeping the medium as open as possible, but then also stepping in when they need to try to shut down things that are nefarious.
Ben Hubbard is the Beirut Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Ben, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.